I tell my kids, if the joke doesn't land, just keep explaining it, and people start laughing.
Refreshments to give us strength in our bodies.
Hello and welcome to Bless the Refreshments, where normal people have normal conversations about the gospel, making it way more fun and interesting to be a member of the church. Today we're diving into the new For the Strength of Youth, a Guide to Making Choices pamphlet. It could be seen as an extension of an episode we did last summer, episode 15, Do Standards Change? We do reference it a couple of times, so it might be helpful for you if you haven't heard it to give that a listen first. We chat about what's different and what stuck out to us in this new updated version of the pamphlet. But before I say hope you enjoy, I wanted to give another shameless plug for the Bless the Refreshments voicemail. We'd love to literally hear what you guys think of this and our other episodes. So please give this number a call, 801-810-9363. Don't forget to leave your name and where you're calling from and your comment. Again, that number is 801-810-9363. And now, hope you enjoy. It was funny. Janine and I were talking about this episode. She's like, oh, good. I haven't read the For Strength of Youth pamphlet yet. And I was like, hey, now you don't have to. Like, all of our is the common theme of the podcast.
Hey, there you go.
We read things so you don't have to.
That's really the service we provide. Reading is so tiresome.
Yeah. And researching to make sure we're like right about stuff. At any rate. Yeah. Like I said, guys, you don't need to read it. We've read parts of it. And that should be good enough, right?
Right. Yeah.
I think
our preparation for this episode.
Yes, for sure. What I think is interesting, so I couldn't help but go back and see other versions of the For Strength of Youth. And I thought, I just think it's interesting, the complete shift in theory for this. So this is the very first, I think, For Strength of Youth that came out in 1965.
Is this the one that says don't wear backless dresses because you're fat?
I don't think that was
75.
Yeah, okay. I don't think so, because this one just talks about it does talk about dress.
Well, it talks about all these things in a much more broadly topical way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it has, like, I think, governing principles as sections, and then it touches on some items like the way you dress, like, you know, dating, you know, like law of chastity. And it ties those things into temple recommend questions as well, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Oh, you're talking about the current version.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the 1965 version.
Okay. Yeah.
We are relevant on this podcast.
I'd like to start here because, again, the shift in thinking is crazy. When I say crazy, I mean, it really is a really big shift in what's going on. So, and this is the 1966 edition, and it says this is the preface, and it says the general officers of the Young Men's and Young Women's Mutual Improvement Association, together with Brigham Young University and the church school systems and a large group of representative of the youth of the church, have prepared an excellent treatise on Latter-day Saint standards and entitled it For the Strength of the Youth, with subtitles on dress, manners, dating, dancing, and clean living. Let's see here. We wish to endorse what has been written and commend all responsible for their efforts, and express hope that all church members, not only youth, will familiarize themselves with the suggestions herein contained and conform the regulations set forth. All rules and regulations, in fact, all laws, especially the laws of God, are made for the benefit of people. It is, of course, of utmost importance that we become familiar therewith and conform thereto, that we may have blessings which were intended. Let us not ever lose sight of the eternal principle enunciated by the Master, that while free agency will not be trampled by our Heavenly Father, conformity to establish His rules of conduct is a necessary prerequisite to the blessings promised to those who obey and keep His commandments.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah. I just think that and then they go on to say, and very specific things, what you should and should not do. You know, like I said, it talks about how bathing suits, and about how whenever traveling to and from the beach or pools, young men and young women should be fully dressed, or at least their swimming clothes should be covered with outer clothing. You know, so I think that the principle that they teach, again, obedience to principles of the gospel and doctrine to gospel, to principles based on doctrine, will bring promised blessings.
But and then they go and spell those things out. Whereas, you know, the newest version where it says a message from the first presidency, the purpose of the strength for the strength of youth is not to give you a yes or no about every possible choice you might face. Instead, the Lord is inviting you to a higher way, higher and holier way, his way. And I think that there are way fewer directives. Oh, when I say directives, meaning like
specific directives.
Specifics. Yeah. Specifics. Here's a binary you're either following or not following in these than in the 1966. And I think it gets it, you know, it moves this way gradually throughout the years. But I guess 1960 was a long time ago. But again, I think it's an interesting shift in here are the things that we're directing you to do, where this one is more, you know, you've got a Heavenly Father knows you. He knows where you're at, You know what's right and wrong. We invite you to live the gospel like this. So I don't know, what are your guys' thoughts about the shift in the way that they're directing, I guess, in the wording, I guess, of these principles and of these standards?
I mean, I think a lot of it comes to maturity as an organization, because I think too, you have to connect it with the times, right? Sure. So those times were very prescriptive in general. I mean, I think,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, our kids have no idea how rigid society could be, you know, when we were children, or more so when our parents and grandparents were children, right? I mean, it was very much like, this is appropriate and this is not appropriate and you will conform. Mm-hmm. I think we've moved away from that as a society. But it's interesting to me that this really is more in line with scriptural precedent. What do we learn in the very earliest scripture that we have? That Adam and Eve were placed in the garden that they might know from their own experience good from evil. To know to savor the good and to reject the evil. Also, King Benjamin taught us, I cannot tell you all the ways that you can sin, for there are diverse ways and many means, but if you need to watch yourself, right? And so I think if you look at the source material, I think this is very much in line with those teachings. I just think it's taken time for us as a body to kind of get more in line with it. And I think that's in line with scriptural precedent. We learn line upon line. And so I think the thing you want to see is that we're getting closer to, not further away from, you know, from kind of the core principles, right?
I mean, this, like, to me, the change in the wording, the change in trust, you know, the change in accountability is, it falls in line with everything else. Not only like, I mean, you talk, like you mentioned, Tyson, more broadly, you take the law of Moses to latter day law or whatever, like after, you know, the law that Christ set up, like just that shift, it fits with this, but also like it fits with us as humans, like mortals as well. Right. Mm-hmm. Like when we're babies, like our kids, we give them very specific instructions. Mm-hmm. So they can learn, right? They get very specific rules because they don't really have the analytical power, brain power yet, right? It's like they'll learn, they break those rules, why we have those rules, you know? Right. Like most of them are for safety or, you know.
Yeah.
But then when we get older, we realize like, okay, we need to make our, you make your own rules for yourself and your only accountability is to you. Mm-hmm. Right. There's nobody gets going to check on you and say, hey, are you following the rules? Like you like. And so this, to me, this it as we grow up, like so does the church. Right. The church was very young, like the restored church anyway, very young. Yep. And they wanted to set out a standard, a very specific standard of rules. And then we've started to grow up and realize, you know, hey, we can, you know, hey, we're older now, we can have more accountability, we can, you know, we can be trusted more.
It would be interesting to me to see who, like, which departments were responsible for writing this, because again, like it right now it seems as though, again, the first president, it's almost like in the voice of the first presidency here, But it's very specific in the very first version of this, that this was like the very first For Strength of Youth that was written by a coalition between the young men, what is now basically the General Young Men's and Young Women's Presidency, General Presidency, BYU, and some, and a panel of youth, right? But it's like, hey, we endorse all of these things. I'm pretty sure that like the first presidency obviously approves all of this, but it would be interesting to me to see the generation of the content, who, like the iterations that went through, who wrote the text itself, what kind of approvals they had to go through. Like if it went all the way up to the first presidency in the Quorum of the 12, which I assume it would have. But again, it would be interesting to me to see what that is. But I think it's interesting that for Joseph Smith taught, I teach people the doctrine and then let them govern themselves. I teach them good principles and then let them govern themselves. I'm pretty sure I'm misquoting that. But the principle is, you know, he didn't, at least in this context, he tried not to tell people exactly what to do. He taught them the doctrine and then let people govern themselves. And that's what President Packer said as well, that the word of God had more power to change people than
his Monson
and the sword.
Was it no, Packard? That's Alma.
Maybe it was. Does Alma say that?
Yeah, of course
he does. Doesn't he? Yeah, you're right. That's right. Because they bring people, they have people captured, and then they preach the gospel at them.
It was President Monson or Packard that said the doctrine, true doctrine understood, will change people more than the study of change will change.
Yeah.
Like the study of behavior will change behavior or something like that. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
See, guys, you don't need to read stuff and confirm quotes.
That was so coherent.
I like the organization of it as well. I think it's really cool that they have eternal truths, they have invitations, they have questions and answers and promised blessings. It seems more valuable than just someone telling you what to do.
There's a more positive view of repentance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure.
I think more explanation of what repentance is, which I think is actually kind of a big issue. Amongst church 100%. Members generally, it's very much looked at as, you know, punishment, right?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so I think broadly speaking, we need to get away from that mindset. But also, you know, just kind of demystifying that process and talking about paying attention to the way you feel and the way that the Spirit works on you and identifying ways of self-improvement continually. I think those are all good things that are kind of emphasized in the new version.
I would say I like that they start with making inspired choices, how to make, you know, when they're entrusting the youth and really us to make choices. Like, I love that the first thing is make choices for ourselves. I love that the first action item is, or the first topic is, how the doctrine and the principle of making choices, you know, that your Heavenly Father trusts you, that you need to start with your beloved child of your Heavenly Father, and he trusts you. And then here's how to make good decisions. Here's how to make choices for where you are and where you stand.
Actually, then the part right before that, the message from the first presidency, mm-hmm. I love that it starts out. There are two paragraphs of how much they love the youth and how much confidence they have in them. Like, we love you and we have confidence in you. You are truly amazing, Heavenly Father's choice spirits, sent to earth at this time to do important things. There may be times when you don't feel strong or capable. That's normal, especially in those moments. Turn to your Savior. He is the strength of youth. And so it's like, to me, reading through this, it was very clear that, like, not only is this a guide for the youth, but it's also kind of a guide for how us as parents should speak to the youth, right? Is mm-hmm. what it feels like build them up like we should be doing, you know. It's really hard to be a teenager, you know, and you got things going on in your body, you have no idea what's going on, even though, but you feel mature and you think you know everything that's going on, but that, like, it's just really hard. Like, I would tell the youth all the time, I wouldn't trade places with you guys for anything. Like, and so for them to start off building them up and telling them how much they love them and how much confidence they have in them, I think is huge. And I think it's really mm-hmm. important for us to remember that as parents, whether it's discipline, whether it's just guidance, whether it's anything, that when we're teaching our children or anybody younger than us, that, you know, we do our best to build them up wherever we can.
Right. And this, you're right. Like, this provides a really good framework on how to talk to our kids about choices that are making.
Yeah.
We talk about eternal truths. You know, we, you know, some, you know, when it's appropriate, we make invitations rather than saying, hey, you have to do A, B, or C. Well, sometimes I think there's a place for that, but, you know, don't forget the promised blessings and then answer any questions that they have.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. So the place for telling you need to do A, B, and C is in your home, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this follows also the home-centered, church-supported framework.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's great.
You're given the revelation you need to guide your own family. And so, and I'm sorry, the right of parents to say, yes, you can do this, no, you can't do that, has not been lifted.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, oh, totally. If we build up our kids enough, like with that love and confidence, like we can create that safe place where if mm-hmm. they had a question or a problem with the rule, that hopefully they could come to us and be like, you know what? I don't like this, you know, however they present it. But we can make our homes like a safe place that the kid if they had a problem with the rule, they can come to us and then we could teach them why. And it doesn't mean that we have to change the rule, but at least they would know that it's a safe place that they could bring up concerns.
I think it's tempting to think that somehow standards have changed because they released a new pamphlet.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to find that if you're being honest. Right. So there's still sections about language, you know, mm-hmm. we shouldn't have coarse language. They get away from, you know, saying exactly what that means. Right.
Yeah.
The reference to 16-year-old dating is still in there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a lot of these things. They're just trying to broaden the way that we discuss these things. You know, I think there's still references to, you know, to media and movies and those types of things. But I think they're trying to get away from one, things that will change over time, whereas like broad kind of governing principles don't change. But also just leaving space for some personal ownership and accountability to the standards that we come to.
Mm. And I also think like global culture as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely. You
know, yeah. So. And that was interesting because in the 1990 version, and I think even in the 2001 version, it may have been updated afterwards, but again, the whole references to rated R movies.
Right.
Because I remember in the MTC, I had a couple of Australians in my district, and I had one of my teachers was Japanese, you know, and they were like, and he said, you know, that one of his favorite movies was The Last Samurai. And I'm like, that doesn't feel good. This is weird. And then I'm like, But the rating system is only applicable to the U.S.
Yeah. It's so the Motion Picture Association of America that makes.
Yeah.
That gives that rating. Yeah.
It was the first time that I thought globally is like, oh, wait a second. This is kind of limiting because what if it were a true standard, what would be the same for me or what would be wrong for me would be wrong for them. So that one, I was like, OK, I have to back out of that a little bit and see and kind of analyze the. You know, the principle behind it. But then again, they updated, I think, in the 2013 version.
You know, one of the things that I love about one of the sections I love most in this one, it's the section is Walking God's Light. But the paragraph that I think is great is Make Time for the Lord Every Day, because that can solve almost everything. You know, if you're actively trying to make time for God every day, a lot of these questions just answer themselves.
I mean, the first two sections are all about love. First one is about Christ's love and how he'll help you. And then how, you know, how we show love for God and our neighbor. Like those first two are just all about love, how repentance is about love, what, you know, Christ's sacrifice, about love. I love how it says the two greatest commandments Jesus taught are to love God and love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? Everyone. Everything else taught in the scriptures and by the prophets is connected to these two commandments. So like,
yeah,
and right. Then it talks about walking in God's light. It's like, mm-hmm. it always needs to start with love. And then it talks about how to use the manual, you know, or how to use the pamphlet. And so it's structured just really, really well, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting too. There's still things here that are very specific to our time. So for instance, there is a section on social media that is always going to need to be updated, because even since, you know, social media became a thing, it's undergone several iterations. Yeah. It's so much different now than it was when it first came out. But also in a focus on real experiences. But I think, you know, under the guise of handles, you know, and under the mask of technology, things that happen like that can be dangerous, firstly, but they can also just be false. You know, there's no replacing like real in-person human interaction. And that's something that I thought was interesting that they emphasized.
And I think that, like, particularly with the advancements of AI, particularly what AI can write is incredible. Like, my friend posted something on Facebook, and he went to Chat AI and said, write a talk about charity in the voice of Thomas S. Monson. And like, it was, I mean, what it probably did, it probably went and scoured the internet, found the church's website, scoured all of his writings, and then wrote stuff. He even could have said, hey, these are direct lifts from talks on charity.
Right.
But still, he never gave that talk, and it was pretty dang good. So nothing will replace human person-to-person interactions. That's a really solid point. Now that I also think that social media, like in terms of like cyberbullying, the things that people can say through DMs, like no one will know except for those two people.
Right.
Like it regular bullying, at least it was outward and people had the opportunity to help that person or to stick up for them or say, hey, don't do that, you know, type of a deal. But, you know, cyberbullying through DMs or through the anonymity of screens and keyboards can be so personal.
You know, the world we live in is deceptively dangerous. We feel safer, but there's these new avenues of attack. And so I think, you know, the church is always going to want to be giving guidance on those things, because it's hard to stay ahead of them, both as, you know, an individual and as families. So
yeah. I like the section on always be learning for that reason. It's like always be learning, but, and like you said, real experiences, but the more educated and well-rounded education that we get, I think that will protect us a lot from, you know, social media, whatever, misinformation, mm-hmm. anything, like any, like, I just think that there's a lot of protection that comes with having a well-rounded education to, you know, I guess that would supplement your scriptural education as well. Right. Like, I guess that's part of our well-rounded education, but like,
and I think that that is not just, you know, go to school get certifications or do, well, it certainly I think does mean those things, but I also think it means when you hear something on the internet or when you see something or when you read something on the internet, take the time to make sure that that's the truth. Or to see how valid it is, right? Instead of just rage reposting it. You know, taking everything that people say on the internet, whether they be, you know, some vlogger or some podcast, except for ours, make sure that you take the time to see if it's a credible source before you repost or before you talk about it as fact.
Yeah. And I mean, it has a key phrase in here: involve the Lord in your efforts and he will guide you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've felt a couple times with researching stuff that somebody said that sounds like anti against the church. Like, there's a couple times where I've done the research and found the backstory of where this whatever started, where the story started. But then I've also felt the Holy Ghost tell me, like, you're wasting your time. Like, mm-hmm. don't worry about, this is not worth your effort. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. You know? So absolutely. I think that line, involve the Lord in your efforts, is key to that kind of to education, you know?
That's a really humble thing of you too, because, you know, like, it shows that you value the truth over, you know, what you want to be true. Because sometimes when we go into these things, we're like, okay, what do I want to be true? And then we only research things that support how we already feel.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, but to say, hey, like, this is a waste of your time, even though that's something you really want to know about.
Right.
And then you obey, like, that's really commendable.
Well, it takes a pretty, strong message from the Holy Ghost for me to stop. Cause I do, like, I don't like not knowing, mm-hmm. Even that, like, I've become okay saying I don't know because of the scripture in John, but, I'm okay saying I don't know now, but, like, I also don't like not knowing. So it took a pretty strong, pretty strong, still small voice to tell me I'm wasting my time.
There is a word missing from this publication that I thought was interesting. You know, a word's not in here?
Various swear words.
Yes.
Don't say these words. Yes. Yeah.
Beep, I did a search. There is no reference to the word agency. There's a lot of reference to choices, and there's lots of references to truth, but there's no reference to agency. One, they kept saying free agency before, and that's a misnomer.
Yeah. Yes, I hate that.
There's agency that leads to freedom, and there's agency that leads to captivity. There's no such thing as free agency, other than agency is a gift. I mean, that's a thing. But the section in here that deals with a lot of it is the truth will make you free. And we've been talking about a lot of the things, you know, that are in that section. But I think that's a really crucial point, is to acknowledge when you make good choices, you are more free. And you are more able to be your own steward and master than if you allow the adversary control over you by your unwise use of agency.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was interesting. So today, as I was reading through it, I was like, okay, again, the whole 16, don't date till you're 16, either like as a principle, like as a guideline. Yes. Yeah, as I said, you know, wait till you're 16 to date. And I was like, where does that number come from? You know, 15 seems like a more round number that we like to draw to. But when I Google searched it, most publications say culturally, like, it's obviously depends on the person, but 16's generally what the experts say. But like, even some like decently, like, it wasn't just blogs, like even some decent like sources say 16 is generally what people think is like the average age to those appropriate to start dating. 15 may be a little young depending on the person, but also 16 might be a little young for really mature people, which is true.
Well, which I thought was interesting. The one thing I like about this is, since they're saying it's a guideline, I'm free to adjust it. So for my daughter, I'm going to adjust it up to 24. I want to keep with the multiples of 8. So 24 for my daughters and sons.
Nice.
If I ever have any sons. Interestingly, there is some magic to the, I'm joking about the dating thing, but there is some magic to the age 24. Like, I've read some studies that show, like, that's around the age that the human brain starts to be fully developed. And you kind of reach your emotional maturity, you know, level. A lot of things get set in place when you're about 24 mm-hmm. years old. So I always thought there's an author that encourages his kids not to get married until they're 24. Because that's when they start to really become a whole person, a fully developed person. But
I think that is such a fascinating thing as to what people, like, just how different you are when, and just like what a matter of a couple of years can make. Because I dated a girl in high school for a year and a half, and like, I just wasn't like I still wanted to date other people, like, because again, that's what the For Strength of Youth pamphlet said, and I blamed it on the Strength of Youth pamphlet. I was like, I just also want to date other girls, you know. Our relationship ended, and then I went on a mission. Then I came back, and I was like, I now no longer want, like, when I had had an interest in a girl, I only had interest in that girl. And like, I was able to actually start courting towards marriage. And I was like, wow, you know, like the girl I dated in high school was amazing. She was great. And I was like, maybe if we had dated, like, the only difference was that I was an idiot in high school. And as an adult, I was still an idiot, but like, I was just ready for something more serious.
Right.
So I think that like there is, and maybe I did a lot of growing up on mission. I don't know, maybe. But it was just the difference for me from 18 to 21 or 22 was night and day.
So here's the thing, and this is maybe a side tangent, but it's not a coincidence. And I'm just going to get on my soapbox for a minute. Here's one of the major benefits of a mission, other than you're sharing the gospel with the world. That's a big benefit. But I don't think people realize the power of habit. Like, mm-hmm. You get into amazing habits. At least you can. I mean, you don't have to. There's certainly exceptions to that. But if you're serving a mission in obedience and faith, you're going to get into great habits. And those habits are infectious to every aspect of your life. And you'll be surprised on how many things will start going good by you developing a few correct, you know, important habits. And it's just a thing. It will just happen. There's probably some deep science behind it, but I'm just telling you it works.
No, yeah, for sure. I smirk a little bit, not because of what you're saying, but because you used the word infectious. And in the old word, like in the version, the first version, the 1966 version, and then in the 1969 version, it had like comparisons in this thing that I was reading. Uh-huh. And it said that you're the things you do will be a contagion. In 1966.
That's hilarious.
They have it like crossed out in the 1969 version. They said an example to those around you. And I was like, but I think you're right. And I think that, you know, 19 to 21, you know, that period of your life, you know, you have so little responsibility in terms of those around you. Like, and so to have that kind of, I think I really would have struggled. Had I not served a mission during those times. And I think it goes a lot to the habits. And when you're talking about habits, I mean, yeah, waking up at 6:30 is a good habit. But I think the more the habits is in terms of study and in terms of prayer. I learned how to pray a lot better from, well, you know, when I was on a mission where I could devote myself to improving that part of myself. And I think that specifically for me was what was the, were those habits that I learned on my mission.
Just speaking from somebody that grew up outside the church that didn't have like the law of chastity, I really like the part in here where it starts out with sexual feelings are an important part of God's plan to create happy marriages and eternal families. Yep. It doesn't, I think a lot of the times, because talking about sex is so uncomfortable, it can be anyway.
Yeah.
We treat it. I think it was Jennifer Finlayson Fife that talked about related it to like fire. It's like if we treat it like fire, it's like don't touch it. It's dangerous. Don't touch. Don't go near it. And then but then suddenly it's like, oh no! But now it's fine to go. Now it's fine.
Now we need a campfire. Let's do this.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like that's not going to be that transition isn't going to go very well. Right?
Right.
But the fact that that it starts out with this is an important part of God's plan. And I think if we like, I really can't stress enough, like the importance of making your home a safe place to talk about sex and sexual feelings. Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with everything that it says in here. It is sacred and it shouldn't be part of jokes. It like we stress to our kids, like you shouldn't be talking about it outside of our family. If you have questions, you can ask us anything or you can tell us anything. Like you'll never get in trouble and it'll never be gross. Like ask us anything and we'll do our best to answer it truthfully. Please don't like get in the habit of talking about it, like with your friends and like, because it is sacred and we mm-hmm. like, it should be kept in the family, but I can't stress enough. Like I really, really feel like it needs to be talked about in the family, starting from an early, like we give the first sex talk to our kids when they turn 8, they get baptized mm-hmm. and it's not, you know, we don't come home from their confirmation and give them the talk, but it's like, you know, we do it in the same year. Like it, obviously yeah. it's very basic and then it mm-hmm. it evolves as it goes forward. But, just speaking of somebody that didn't grow up in the church, didn't have these standards taught all the time, and with parents that were very uncomfortable talking about it with me, like I had to learn everything on my own right. and hormones, like you can't control them at that age, you know? Well, mm-hmm. I mean, you can, but it takes a lot of support,
right?
You know, it, mm-hmm. you need to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be able to have a place that's safe to be like, hey, this is really hard and somebody can help you avoid situations or somebody can teach you what to do in situations. Like you need that support and it has to come from inside the home. And so like, that's, I just think the way that they word it, like I've said before, like the structure of this is really, really good.
And I think in terms of like one thing that Dr. Finlayson Fife said is that it's going to be uncomfortable. And I think that you have to intentionally make times to talk about and create opportunities to talk about those things within the home. Cause I mean, I had the law of chastity talk a lot from my parents, you know, and I loved and respected my parents, but there was no way I was going to ask them stuff. Like there was no way, particularly as a youth, that I was ever going to ask them about sex or about, you know, what I remember one time I asked, I had found out that this girl that I had a crush on in seventh grade that I liked her, that I liked, she liked me back and she was expecting me to ask her to be her boyfriend. For me to ask her to be her girlfriend or whatever, like yeah. to go out, basically. Right. It was a vernacular back in seventh grade.
Something yeah. like that, right?
Yeah. So they're like, she's waiting to for you to ask her out. And I was like, are you kidding me? No way has like finally a girl's desire aligned with my desire. Right. But because that did not happen at all. But and I remember asking mom, I was like, mom, can I ask a girl out? She's like, no. I'm like, wait, why not? And she's like, well, what does that mean? And I was like, I don't, it's like, are you going on dates? Cause that's a definite no. And I'm like, that's not what it means, mom. And she's like, well, it doesn't mean, it's like, I don't know. It yeah, means that they're two friends that like each other. She's like, well, why can't you be two friends who like each other and not be boyfriend, girlfriend? I'm like, mom, you're ruining my life. But, you know, but it was like after that, like, I don't think I ever went back to my parents about like advice or about things like they had, you know, like anyone who's listened to my episode knows that I had to work things out with, you know, with bishops and with my dad who became my bishop and with my mom, you know, like they were all in those types of conversations with me. But in terms of like everyday relationships and what would be appropriate, my mom made sure that she's like, John, these things are appropriate. These things are not appropriate. So it was really good that they made times as awkward as they were to say, John, let's talk about this again. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I respected the way they did that. What other things did you guys like about the new For Strength of Youth pamphlet?
It's actually material for the strength of youth, Johnny.
What did I say?
You said for strength of youth. It's okay. For the strength of youth. But there was one part I wanted to read that I like.
Be sure not to miss any words.
Thing is, it's short enough. We could just read the whole thing and it wouldn't take that long.
Well, that is your thing, right?
It's true. You want me to start?
Here it comes again.
In under the Love God, Love Your Neighbor section, this is another part that I love that it needs to be like, hopefully it's not as common. But it does need to be talked about is what can I do if my home is not a place of love, which mm-hmm. I think is like the fact that they included this. I don't know if something like this was in previous For the Strength of Youths. It says your Savior knows your situation and he loves you. Be patient, continue to keep God's commandments and be a good example to your family. Build relationships within your ward family. Prepare now to build your own family founded on the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's like, it's a short thing. It gets right to the point. And starting out with the sentence, your Savior knows your situation and he loves you. This kind of thing can make you feel so alone, mm-hmm. you know, and just that if we can come to understand that first sentence, that's an incredible step in the right direction, right? To just understand that this, like, you're not alone. If anything, mm-hmm. the Savior is with you. Even if you have right. nobody else, the Savior is with you and he's all you need, mm-hmm. you know? It doesn't shy away from they know it's going to be hard. You know, it's not really like it, you know, just to be patient. And, I like the build relationships within your ward family and then prepare to build your own family, you know, it's kind of like stay authentic to yourself, stay close to the Savior. And then one day you can build the family that you've always, that you have always deserved, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I like that. Yeah. I love that they included it. It needs to be talked about more.
And it emphasizes too, like this, the need to, so the balance between Christ's teachings and kind of practical applications. So as an example, they talk about, yes, Christ, and we should do this. Christ taught us to forgive those who abuse us and to pray for them. Right. But
right.
he doesn't command us to stay in abusive situations, to set healthy boundaries. Yeah. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you're not being Christ-like to them. That just means that you're being a good steward of your own well-being.
Yeah.
But there's nuance to these teachings that I think the church helps to clarify for people who might especially be most at risk, right? Or who it hits home the most to. So I agree with you, Burgess. I think this is a good aspect of what they've reached out to, because there's so many people that live under these kinds of situations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to wrap it up then, with I really like the beginnings and the ends of these events. And I always have. But I think this one is I don't know how they could have ended it better than just finding joy in Christ, where it says choices matter. Choices based on gospel teachings are steps that lead you closer to your Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. This is why you need to make correct choices, because, you know, like, the more you do, the closer to your Heavenly Father and Jesus you get. It does not matter. That does not mean that the path will be problem free. And since no one walks perfectly in a straight line, constantly check your direction and your honor and honor God's commandments, keep your covenants with God and prepare to make more. Covenants connect you with your Heavenly Father and Savior. They increase your power, they increase God's power in your life and prepare you to receive eternal life. Of all possible choices, the one that matters most is the choice to follow Jesus Christ. He is the strength of youth. His gospel is the joyful way back to your Heavenly Father. And just wraps it up with, again, choices matter. These choices matter because of the blessings that await you as you make these correct choices. I think that's great. Thanks again for listening. What were your initial thoughts on the For the Strength of Youth updates? Did we miss any groundbreaking differences? And how will it change the way you and your family make decisions on what's right for you? Please give us a call in the voicemail. I won't beat a dead horse and repeat the number. You can find it at the beginning of the episode.
Please let us get home safely.